This morning I want to talk to you about the priority of a disciple. That's the title of my message. And priority is a very common word used in our time. I think our society has become more frantic, more disjointed, more disconnected, very mobile. As life speeds up and becomes literally engulfing so many different things, the word priority constantly is brought up. And it's when we talk about priority, it's talking about what needs to come first. What are the things that are really important? And there are books written on priorities, there's seminars, there's all kinds of different things, and you can hire people to come in and talk about priorities. But this morning we want to look particularly at what does the Bible say about the priority of a disciple. Because a disciple is a devoted follower of Jesus Christ. Jesus, in his Great Commission, said, go and make disciples of all nations. And so if we're a follower of Jesus, if we want to grow to think, feel, and act like Jesus, then we need to pay attention to what is the priority. And again, priority is what is essential, what is supreme, what is foundational, what is preeminent in our lives. And so if we boil it down and apply it to our church ministry, certainly as we just, if you look at the bulletin and look at some of the announcements, you'll see that there's all kinds of things going on. There is Project Destiny. There are short-term missions. There are evangelism. There is need for Sunday school teachers. They need people to cook meals. There's ministry to the homeless. There's all kinds of different things that you could be involved in the ministry of the church. And all of them are important. We have ministries to babies and to children and to youth and to married couples and to singles and senior citizens. They're all important. And so we can be overwhelmed with all the different needs. We can be overwhelmed with serving and trying to help here and trying to help there. But what is the priority? What is the most important thing? And so I believe that Jesus speaks to us regarding what is the priority of a disciple. And we'll see this in the passage that is printed in your program, Luke chapter 10, starting verse 38. And I'm going to be not reading the whole thing, but maybe taking different chunks at different times. And I first want to give you maybe the context for this passage, because if we were to back up and look at chapter 10, we realize that Jesus is perhaps about 6 months before he would be crucified. And so he is on a very extensive teaching ministry during this time, giving his followers these last-minute instructions of how to live the Christian life. And if you look at the beginning part of chapter 10, Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So Jesus there is emphasizing the fact that there is a great need out there. There is a great harvest out there, particularly in regards to evangelism. And yet, there's not enough workers. And therefore, we need to pray for more workers. We need more workers. And so this certainly, Jesus is saying, yes, we need people to serve. We need people to serve in evangelism and sharing the gospel with people. And then later on in that same chapter, chapter 10, verse 25 to 37, there is the parable of the Good Samaritan. And many of you are familiar with that when someone asks Jesus, who is my neighbor? And Jesus tells this story about a person that is robbed, And there are all these, you know, a couple of religious people walk by and they don't do anything. But a Samaritan comes and helps this person. And so this story emphasizes the importance of us being good neighbors. That as we see needs around us, we need to respond and help as much as we can. And so certainly in chapter 10, we already see that there's a great need for service. There's a need for evangelism. There's a need for social responsibility. And so, but what is the priority? Because in verse 42, at the end of the passage here, Jesus says, but one thing is necessary. All right? One thing is necessary. The NIV translates it, only one thing is needed. And so in this passage, Jesus is giving us the priority for a disciple. And so we don't want to miss that. Because if we miss it, then we're going to go astray. We're going to have issues. We're going to have problems, okay, in our Christian life. Because what comes first defines us, informs us, motivates everything else that we do. And so we can, if we get the priority correct, then we can grow. We can thrive as a Christian. But if we don't, then we're going to kind of limp along and wander aimlessly in our Christian life. So what is this one thing? And so let's begin by looking at the passage, starting with verse 38 of Luke chapter 10. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. So we understand that Jesus is in this teaching ministry. He enters a village. And actually, we find out later on in other portions of Scripture that this village is Bethany. And Bethany is a few miles outside of Jerusalem, because this was the home where Mary, Martha, and Lazarus lived, okay? Many of you recognize the name Lazarus because he was raised from the dead. Same family here. And so they were siblings, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And it seems that Jesus encountered them frequently. And this could have been the first time, all right, that he encountered them. And so in this encounter, we will see, look at the three main characters in this story. The first one is Martha. And we want to see a look at the mission of Martha. That's my first point there. Martha apparently was the oldest of the siblings. She was perhaps the more outspoken. And she does a good thing here. She shows hospitality. It says, Martha welcomed him, Jesus, into her house. And is perhaps not only Jesus, but probably the disciples as well, the 12 disciples. And so here it is that she's opening up her home to Jesus. And Jesus, on his ministry and his teaching ministry, he was an itinerant preacher at this point. And so he went from town to town. He didn't have a place that he could call home, you might say. And so I'm sure that it was a real treat for him to be welcomed into a home, to have a nice home-cooked meal. And so this is a good thing that Martha does. She is offering hospitality. Hospitality is something that is commanded in the Bible, that we are to extend hospitality to people. And so this is a good thing that Martha is doing. And we should note that Martha is a good person. She is a believer, okay? In John chapter 11, verse 5, it says, now Jesus loved Martha. And so she was a person that was especially loved by Jesus. And I'm sure Martha loved Jesus as well. But in this situation, it seems like Martha kind of goes astray. And in some sense, you can't, you know, you can kind of understand it, because here it is that Jesus, the Son of God, is coming into your house for dinner, right? And also these 12 disciples as well. So you can imagine if you invited me, the senior pastor, and the pastoral staff to your house for dinner, right? And you can imagine, like, oh no, you know, we have all these important guests coming into our home. What are we going to do? And you have this elaborate meal. You want to make sure that it's the best meal that they ever ate. You want to make sure that your house is spotless. You want to make sure that you put the Bible right in the center of the coffee table, right? And, you know, you're doing all this preparation. It's like, wow, we're going to have these very important guests. And so you can imagine it's very stressful for Martha to have, you know, Jesus and the disciples come to her home. And apparently it seems that Martha was also, if we read other portions of Scripture, you might say she was type A, all right? She is a person that aggressive, hardworking, driven, focused on the mission, all right? And so that's why I call this point the mission of Martha. She was focused on the mission. And, you know, it's not to say that people like this are bad, because we need people like that in our church, because those are the people who get things done in our church, right? They're the ones who get the job done. And so we need people like that. And so, but unfortunately, in this situation, it seems that things kind of got out of hand. But we certainly want to understand that Martha was a good person who loved Jesus. She was a follower of Jesus, and she was motivated by her mission. She wanted to get the best meal possible for Jesus. And she reminds me, actually, a little bit about my mother-in-law. My mother-in-law lived in a small apartment in New York City. She was widowed at the time, and she was a believer. And whenever we went to visit her in New York, she would always seem to be busy in the kitchen, preparing some meal, preparing different things for us. And she would, for instance, if it was in the morning, she would get up early and try to make us bacon and eggs and all those kinds of things. In the middle of the night, she would be making dumplings so that we could take them home, you know, when we go back to Boston. And so she felt that her mission was to get the best meal possible for us, all right? And sometimes my wife and I would want her to just, don't make so much stuff, just sit down and talk with us and, you know, converse with us and let's catch up on different things. And so I think Martha was sort of like this kind of a person, that she was so focused upon the mission. And she wanted to get the best meal possible for Jesus and the disciples. And that's not necessarily wrong. But in verse 39, the next verse, it says, but she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. And so we come to the second character in this story, and that is Mary, the sister of Martha. And here we note the position of Mary, the position of Mary. See, Mary's not even quoted here. We don't hear about anything that she said. But you please note her position, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. You see, in that culture, teachers, rabbis, typically taught sitting down. They didn't stand at some blackboard in the front or something like that. They sat down and they taught. And what would happen is that their disciples, their followers, would sit in a circle literally at their feet, listening to the words of this teacher. And so this is what Mary was doing, that she was sitting at the Lord's feet. And she's certainly acknowledging Jesus' authority in this situation. And certainly we note that it says, who sat at not Jesus' feet, but the Lord's feet in this situation. But again, nothing unusual about this position, except the fact that she's a woman. And in that culture, it was very unusual for women to take that position as a learner. Because many times people would look down on women and think they would not be able to be a disciple. But obviously, Jesus felt differently. He wanted to reiterate and show that women and men can be followers of Jesus. And so this is very similar to, as I mentioned about in the context of the parable of the Good Samaritan. You see, in the parable of the Good Samaritan, you might say the good guy, the hero in that story, is a Samaritan. A Samaritan was half Jew and half Gentile. And they were looked down upon by the Jewish people. And Jesus made the Samaritan the hero in that story. And so Jesus is also making Mary here the hero in this story. And so she is at the feet of Jesus. But, you know, it seems like, oh, this is a nice family scene and that type of thing. But what happens is there is a family blow up, all right? And verse 40, it says, but Martha was distracted with much serving. Okay? So certainly that word distracted means to be pulled away or dragged away, all right? And so what does that mean? Martha was distracted with much serving. She was dragged away or pulled away from the main focus, and that is Jesus. And instead, she began to focus on preparing the meal and making sure there's Jesus was felt hospitable and all these different things. And so as she was serving in the kitchen, maybe the soup was boiling over, maybe the fish was getting burned, maybe the table was not set, and Martha is getting kind of irritable. Now, apparently, it seemed that Mary had been serving before, but now when Jesus came, she went to sit at the Lord's feet, and we see that later on. But Martha at this time is getting irritated. And maybe she's, you know, kind of like, okay, I'm here serving alone. I have this big elaborate meal that I have planned, but no one's helping me. Mary's out there listening to Jesus, okay? And so she might, you know, deliberately drop a few pans to make sure that they know that she's out there serving and doing things. You know, maybe she kind of looks in and gives her sister the evil eye or something like that. But she doesn't get it, right? And so she rushes in and says, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So again, it apparently alludes to the fact that Mary was serving before, but when Jesus came, you know, she went to sit at the feet of Jesus. And then she says, tell her then to help me. And so this is somewhat surprising because you notice how Martha addresses Jesus. She says, Lord, okay? She's acknowledging Jesus as the supreme authority, all right? And yet she's saying, Jesus, you don't care for me. Right? She's accusing Jesus of not caring. The person who gave his, you know, will give his life for us, who cares about it so much. Martha's saying, don't you care for me? And then she begins to tell Jesus what he ought to do, telling the Lord what to do, right? And so I hope you get that it's very grotesque, you might say, kind of situation that's taking place here. And so, thirdly, we want to look at the conclusion of the Lord. What does What does Jesus say about the situation? What is his conclusion? And he gives a negative conclusion about Martha, but he also gives a positive conclusion about Mary. And so Jesus in verse 41 says, "But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things.'" Okay? So we have to remember that Martha loves the Lord. We have to remember that Martha is serving the Lord. She wanted to cook the best meal possible for Jesus. So certainly serving is not wrong. It is a good thing. But Martha receives a rebuke from Jesus. A gentle rebuke. A gracious rebuke. Certainly, and that's why he sort of repeats her name. Martha, Martha. Okay? And Martha's problem is not that she is serving too much. The problem is that she is serving with the wrong attitude. Okay? She's serving with the wrong attitude. See, she may have begun to think about, "Oh, I want to do my very best for the Lord." But then she got to thinking about all the things that she needs to do. She's thinking about all the preparation that she needs to do. And they become burdensome to her. And then she begins to look at Mary and think, "Well, why isn't she here helping me? Doesn't she know that this service is so important? This ministry is so important?" And so you might say, I think she becomes very inward-looking. She becomes selfish, really, because she is thinking about herself in this situation. And I think many of us can get like that as well as we serve, as we are involved in a ministry, and then we look at others and think, "Boy, how come they're not helping us, you know? Don't they realize how important my ministry is? How come they're not helping, right?" And we begin to judge those people, and we look down upon those people. And not only they're not helping out, they don't even appreciate our ministry. No one is saying thank you. No one is saying you're doing a good job. All right? And so a lot of times we can get that way, particularly many of us who are what I would call performance-oriented people. All right? And that's a lot of us in this room. A lot of us, you know, get our self-worth from our achievement, how good our report card is, what kind of position that we have at work, okay? All those kinds of things. A lot of us are performance-oriented people. And so performance-oriented people like Martha can get into a very bad situation where we begin feeling pitying ourselves, focusing on ourselves. How come people aren't helping me? How come they don't appreciate me? And so that's her problem. And that's why Jesus rebukes her in this situation, because she was doing a good thing. She was serving the Lord, but she didn't have a servant's heart. And so that was the problem with Martha. On the other hand, Jesus had a positive conclusion about Mary. And verse 42, Jesus says, "But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." And so what Jesus is commending here is that Mary chose the priority. That priority is spending time with Jesus, to sit at his feet, to learn from him, okay? And so that should be the priority of all followers of Jesus Christ, all disciples. That's the priority, that you need to be like Mary in this situation, where we would sit at the feet of Jesus and learn from him. Now, obviously, we can't literally sit at the feet of Jesus today. He does, you know, he does not literally coming into our house, but we can learn from his word, that we can spend time with Jesus, even though we may not feel him and see him. We can spend time with Jesus in our prayer life, in our devotional life. And so we need to devote time and make that the priority, even above service, even above serving the Lord, okay? Because the word disciple, one of the basic meanings, it means learner. And so we need to learn from God's word, that we need to recognize that God has given to us his revelation to us, his instructions for us in terms of how to live. And so we need to take time to get into his word, both in a corporate level like this in a worship service, but also in a private, in a personal level as well, in our personal devotions. Because if we don't do that, if we work without worship, we're going to suffer a lot of stress in our lives. We're going to get disoriented in terms of what we're doing. We're going to get bad attitude. And so we need to follow the example that Mary gives to us and choose the most important thing. And sometimes that means even above serving, okay? Now, over the years, I have seen people that are overwhelmed with serving the Lord, okay? I've literally seen people who do their Sunday school lesson during service, all right? They're preparing their lesson because they didn't have time, quote, before. And I've seen some deacons who do the financial books for the church during worship service, okay? Because they didn't have time. And so they're not worshiping God. They're just like catching up on all the service that they're doing. And I think that's a mistake. I think that gets them into a lot of trouble. And so, again, we need to learn from Mary and recognize that we need to make spending time with Jesus the priority in our lives. And I'm not saying, oh yeah, be like Mary and don't be like Martha, okay? I'm not saying that. I'm saying you need to be both, okay? You need to be like Mary and making the priority, but you also need to be serving. So I would say be both like, you know, Mary and Martha. But unfortunately, some of you are doing neither, right? And so we want you to first worship the Lord. Get into his word. Let God speak to you, first of all. Then go out there and serve. And as you are serving the Lord, continue to worship. It's not a one-time thing. It should be a constant thing that we are feeding ourselves and help and allowing us to get closer and closer to the Lord. Because if we don't, we're going to burn out. We're going to run out of gas. We're going to get irritable. We're going to get critical and all those different things. And so we need to learn from this story. David put it this way in Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing have I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Psalm 27, 4. And so David is saying, you know, this one thing I ask, this is the priority, that I may gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. That means worshiping God. That means appreciating the Lord. In a few moments, we're going to be taking communion. And I hope that you begin to appreciate the beauty of the Lord, his love and mercy and his grace toward us. And it says to inquire in his temple. That means learning, growing. And so God, again, has given us his word, and we need to grow from it. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. God gave this command, man, God gave this instruction, man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Okay, they're going out to serve, I think. But, you know, hope they got the main point, I hope, right? They got the main point. They have to, you know, spending time with Jesus, okay? But Deuteronomy 8:3 is quoted by Jesus when he was tempted, right? In the wilderness. Man does not live by bread alone, but lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And you may say, well, we have to eat, don't we? I mean, maybe we could say, man does not live by rice alone, or, you know, maybe in our context. But, you know, but the idea is, yeah, it's something as important as eating, which we do at least three times a day, right? As important as eating is, and it's needed for our physical nourishment, we need spiritual nourishment. It's even more important. That's what it says here. Man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. All right? And again, we don't literally sit at Jesus' feet, but Jesus said, this is his word. We need to listen to it. We need to study it. We need to absorb it. We need to obey it. And so we need to, again, worship spend time in worshiping the Lord and learning from him. And that means that we have to say no to other things. Because if this is the priority in our lives, we have to say no to a lot of good things, all right? And a lot of us do spend a lot of time in leisure. Yes, we say, oh, we're really busy, but a lot of times our busyness involves a lot of leisure things, whether it be movies and TVs and video games and all kinds of different things, all right? And there's nothing wrong with leisure. It's a good thing. And again, maybe it's involved in service and serving others within the church. But sometimes we have to say no because we can't do it all. And Jesus is telling to us, the priority, first and foremost, is to spend time with me, to worship, to learn from your word. And apparently, Martha learned her lesson. Because later on, in John chapter 12, they have another dinner party. And Martha was the hostess. And no complaints at that point, all right? So apparently, she learned her lesson. And I hope you learned your lesson as well. Let me close with this illustration. Because sometimes we may feel, but, you know, maybe you heard Calvin's plea for nursery workers, you know, and say, oh, we need workers. And that's true. We have lots of needs within our church. And we need people to serve in ministry, particularly with our children, okay? But again, what does this story tell us? And I think this illustration is good. Many of us have been on airplanes. We know that before the plane takes off, that there's always the safety instructions and things that are there. And then they get to the point in the safety instructions and they say, in the unlikely event of the loss of cabin pressure, the panel above you will open, oxygen masks will drop down, take the mask, put it on your nose and mouth, adjust the tabs, and breathe normally. Right? And then they say, if you're traveling with children or seated next to someone who needs assistance, place the mask on yourself first, then offer assistance. Why do they say that? I mean, you would think that, well, the child is more helpless. We should help the child, first of all, right? But if you think about it, you say, oh, the reason is because if an event of loss of cabin pressure, I could black out first, right? I could become unconscious, and I won't be able to help anybody at that point. And so I need to put the mask on first and then assist others. And I think the same thing spiritually, that many of us need to make sure that we are spiritually fed, that we are spiritually healthy, so that we can then go and serve and help other people. Let's bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this short story, but very insightful story, Lord, because it shows to us what is important, what is the priority. And Father, many of us are busy doing lots of different things, but we haven't made you, spending time with you, the priority in our lives. That maybe we come to worship, but we're not really focused. We just attend worship, sit through the service. Maybe we don't have devotions with you, or we don't spend time praying to you, reading your word, meditating on your word on a personal level. And so help us, Lord, to change in our priorities. Help us to see what Jesus is saying here, Lord. Some of us may be burning out or have burned out, and we need to spend time with you to get healthy, to get strong, to draw upon not our strength, but your strength, so that we can serve you effectively. We know that there are many, many different needs within our church. And pray, Lord, that we would not be focused on serving for our own benefit, our own worth, but for your honor and for your glory, Lord. So pray, Lord, that you would teach us the priority of spending time with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.